Hey, greetings. It is I, Great One himself, founder, Cynical Libertarian Society, blah, blah, blah. You don't care, neither do I. It is a great honor and a privilege for me to have right here in my living room the one and the only Captain Capitalism himself. And I'm just going to stop talking right now because I want this is about his wisdom.
So I just talk, you lie just here, talk, man. You just take it, you want a martini maybe while
I would love a martini.
It's good to be here.
Thank you.
I'm very happy. I wish I could do this more often because no one. How many other people have you met from the internet?
Like
from on the internet sphere, whatever spheres that you. How many people have
sort
actually
of
come
political, to visit? Philosophical, intellectual sphere? The answer would be zero.
Zero.
I've met a few girls from the internet, but that's a different thing.
Well, I just mean on any of your social media or writing or your podcasting.
Right.
Have you met? Has anyone
in person? No.
Have you gone and found anyone else?
No.
See, and that's what's wrong with this. That's why I love doing this.
Yeah.
Because you don't know. I didn't know if you existed. True. I wanted to see if there was train tracks. Wait. Where's the clock?
The clock. The clock is upstairs.
Oh, you record upstairs normally?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Because I was like, I gotta look at the clock before I go.
Okay, right on. I thought about us recording in that room, but that room is smaller.
Yeah.
And we'd been like sitting right on top of each
other. Yeah, no, that'd be pretty gay. We don't want to do that.
No, we don't want that.
Yeah.
Well, it'd be bad for the audio also.
Right.
I don't really care about the gay part. It's the audio.
It's
so it's
audio
important.
Thing. Right, yeah. But no, I don't know why. Well, I know why a lot of people don't have the money. They don't travel. Or they have kids. They got some money. You know, they got a job. Or they got a real life. But no, it's great to come out because I visited. God, I think I hit a bunch of people today. I visited Beckloff, saw Davis Arini. Not that you would necessarily know these people.
Well, I know them for a time. I know Davis. I haven't watched much of Davis's stuff lately. I've watched a lot of his videos in the past. I have a lot of admiration for Davis. Disagree with him about a lot of shit, but he's a smart motherfucker.
Yeah, but he's not smart enough to do it consistently. Like, the reason you haven't seen any videos recently?
Because
he hasn't put together any videos recently.
No, I heard you ragging on him about that.
Yeah, well, he came through town, and I'll grant there's like maybe five guys, not necessarily podcasters or internet personalities themselves, but
right.
Glorious Carl came to visit twice.
Mm-hmm.
And not that any of your listeners might know who these people are. These are just people I know. Davis has come in through three times now.
Right on.
What else? Phil and his dog Oreo have come to visit twice. And he's cool. This guy.
I don't think I know Phil.
Oh, I got to tell you about Phil. Phil's a great guy. So I don't want to give him away, so I'll just anonymize things.
Right.
He made multiple millions of dollars on the West Coast selling things, legal things. I just don't want to peg him down. So he made multi-millions of dollars. Then his wife divorced him and took the kids. Then he had a surgery that was potentially life-ending.
Oh, no.
He survived. And with half of the millions that were left over, he said, screw this. So what he does, he got himself a dog. He now lives on the East Coast on this nice place down in South Carolina. And he throws the dog in the van. They throw a mattress in the van. And him and Oreo drive across North America.
Oh, fantastic.
And just drive around. Right. So he's come into town twice with Oreo. And the girlfriend likes Oreo. She's like, and then he actually likes my girlfriend in a harmless, you know, because he's a 50-something-year-old man. But he always says, hey, Oreo was wondering if your girlfriend has any new pictures with her new bikini. Or that. Oreo, and Oreo says, like, hey, I'm sending, he'll have a picture of Oreo on his back saying, Oreo's showing his. Why doesn't your girlfriend send some similar pictures? And so, so Phil and Oreo came to visit.
Nice.
And then, Sergeant Greg and Cindy Crawford. It's not her real name. Oh. I try and keep them anonymous because I don't want anyone to be associated with me.
Yeah, I do the same.
Yeah, no, for wise reasons.
Yeah.
Everyone knows me, they can kill me, but I don't want my friends.
Right, same here. I don't
harassed.
Want other people to suffer.
Right. So, I'm lucky, but most of those are fans or readers. Davis is an author, Glorious Carl, sort of. But I don't know why people don't do it more often. I understand they have meetups, but. Aside from Trump and the election uniting people, let's go to the Trump rally. Let's meet here where it was like this magnet or black hole that pulled everyone together. I don't know why people don't go on more road trips and go and visit and stop in and say hi to people. And then I've become freaking Cappy Appleseed here. drive around spreading the good word of economics to anyone that'll have a free couch for me.
Well, someone's got to do it, and you are qualified.
I am. But I just wish there was more, because now another place people can meet up is Vegas. Every once in a while, you get a bunch of people to meet up in Vegas because it's cheap flights. And I know a lot of people who are younger, like Beckloff is a younger guy, and a lot of these people are just starting off. But I'm thinking, like, they're missing out. Like, I'm afraid what's going to happen is we're all going to get old. We're going to become successful in our own rights. Then we're going to get, you know, it's even already happening to me a little bit, where I'm obligated. Like, you'll find your niche. All of a sudden, you make really good money.
Right.
All of a sudden, you know what you got? You got a job and responsibilities, and you can't drive across the country being campy no more. So I wish people would just, you know, save up $200-$300. You can do it. Go work an extra shift, and then, you know, fly out to Vegas, or, you know, road trip with a bunch of people.
Right.
But I'm not complaining. I mean, I love it. I get to drive around, and I actually get to meet people like you. And it's a hell of a lot cooler meeting people in meet space.
Sure.
Than just on the internet but anyway, but this is nice. This is exactly almost what I'd expected to be. Like, I knew you would have a bachelor pad.
Except for I didn't have the dancing girls.
You didn't have the dancing girls, no.
Sorry.
Damn. I knew there was going to be the train track. Sure enough, it was.
I failed. Yep.
And then the clock, I was like, but we can look at that later. But I knew you were just like this bachelor dude who had this little bachelor pad, you know, apartment. And it would be a minimalist thing, and it just, yeah. And then you get your Dungeons and Dragons dice over there.
D&D dice. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah, with my ragtag collection of furniture, and yeah, you know, total bachelor pad, and all the things that piss off the girls. And
yes, yeah. Of which we met one.
Which we did meet one. Yeah. She was
a
girl.
You are not faking it when you say that you do meet women.
I do know some girls.
You do
cute.
Know some girls in the real world.
Yeah. I do. Right. I'm not scared of them. They are cute and adorable. I like girls.
You like girls. You're not a MGTOW or a virgin.
I get a lot of the MGTOW philosophy. I understand it. You know.
Have you caught any flack from them?
No.
Not really.
I don't think I'm important enough to get flack.
But how do you
God.
Not hit? See, that's a question I had to ask. Oh, you've been doing this for 12 years. I know you eschewed the social media.
Right.
But you would think after 12 years. You would have a larger following. And then when I found your stuff, I'm like, holy shit, this is cool. I mean, like, I just started binging. And then I've tried to throw traffic your direction.
And you have, and the words of gratefulness escape me.
Yeah, but if it doesn't translate to money, I mean,
monetizing it is my, you can't do that for me. I have to get off my ass and do that.
Yeah,
but you have sent traffic I even got an email just this morning from somebody. He says, I found you from Captain Capitalism. I'm an anarcho-capitalist. Here's this question people ask me. I can't answer it. What do you think? You know, I'm like, oh my God.
Perfect. There you go.
An intelligent question. Because I love intelligent questions. You know, I don't know if you've heard my cast. It's a four-parter. It's called Why Statism. It all started with one of my listeners on YouTube asked an intelligent question about something I said. And he said, you know, because I talked about fear and blah, blah. And he said, I don't think that's right. And it turned into this four-part cast where I delve into why I think state is the base of it. But it was like, oh my God, an intelligent fucking question. Mm-hmm. You know, and if you guys listen to me and you're tired of me ranting and being retarded and stupid, just send me an email, ask me an actual intelligent question, mm-hmm. and I'll spend a whole podcast on it because I love that.
Yeah. Well, and that's all we've done here is we've mined intelligence or interesting things or philosophy and brought to the market that was just not getting done. And in such special niches like anarcho-capitalism or libertarian politics that actually is interesting. But yeah, you get a golden question like that. And then you could come up with a four-part series. Unlike, now, not to talk, okay, we'll talk gossip anyway.
Okay,
we'll do this anyway. Because
sure.
I like the guy and I think everyone. What I cannot abide is Stefan Molyneux will get a caller. And you listen to him, I listen to him.
Yep.
And the moment I tune out is when he gets one of these anal retentive, piece of shit, small dick, motherfucking pseudo-intellectuals that wants to nitpick some anal retentive aspect of a philosophy, and he falls for it. And I don't know. It's not like the guy has dead space he has to fill and he has to take this question.
No, he doesn't.
And it's not like he's dumb enough. He's not dumb at all. He should be smart enough to know this is just some wannabe nerd jerking off to his own intellect. Well, according to UPP principles, if a train comes down and it's going uphill and there's a kitten, but it's not my kitten, but it's a female kitten, it's a kitten of a feminist, would it be moral of me? And then the guy perhaps flabbergasts me more. He takes the time to fucking answer it in all intellectual honesty.
Yes.
And because the question was so stupid. I tune out because I don't care if ketchup was replaced with mustard. I mean, I can't even come up with an example because they're so derpy.
Right.
They're so stupid.
Well, and you know, I think where a lot of that comes from, unfortunately, is because I've taken college level philosophy classes. You probably heard that, blah, blah, blah. And it's just, it took me a long time to figure this out because I was taking all these classes. I've taken up to 600 level philosophy classes, right? And it's all this same like bullshit. And it's these things like, and this, you may have heard this, may not. This is like a real thing. They talk about it in a philosophy class. Mm-hmm. So they go, okay, so there's a trolley going down the track. And there's three people standing on the track and they don't know the trolley's out of control and the trolley is going to hit them and kill them. But you're standing on a bridge over the trolley track and there's a fat person with you. And if you push I'm not making this up.
This is what they came up with.
This is in textbooks, in philosophy classes.
This is printed.
This is printed.
McGraw-Hill found this worthwhile.
Not making this up. You can push the fat person off of the overpass. Uh-huh. He'll land on the track and derail the trolley. Thus, you save the life of the three people down the track.
Right.
And this is the serious shit that's debated in these classes. And it's like, when's that going to happen? And so we're sitting in this class one time, and the teacher throws one of these out. And this one person, thank God, you know, this was like 10 years ago before the brainwashing was solid. And one of the people, he's like, This is stupid. He's like, this is like saying, okay, what if there's a missile heading at a stadium full of babies or something? Yeah. And since that moment, I always refer to these as stadium full of babies questions. You know, it's like, okay, why don't we talk about this? Here's a question for a philosophy class. You're the president of the United States. You just killed 130 innocent people with a missile launched from flying robots.
Flying robots.
But let's talk about that. And that will never be. But in the philosophy class, they'll talk about, well, you can push the fat person off a bridge. Right. So the trolley derails.
Right.
And that's, and yeah, Stefan falls for that. I'd just be like, that's a stadium full of babies questions. Go kill yourself.
Right, right. Well, and that's where, again, I'm perplexed as to why Molyneux even entertains these questions, because smart people or people with just self-respect won't entertain, waste their life on it. But if anything, it's proof and evidence that when you get to that granular level, mm-hmm. where you take a simple concept and you stretch it out into a philosophy book, and you have to nitpick and hem and haw over every, and that's why I was kind of curious, like, or not curious, but why I wasn't surprised that no matter what level philosophy class you take, you're going to run into this bullshit, because like, how much philosophy mm-hmm. can there possibly be? And if there is philosophy, the real philosophy, and this is where Stefan Molyneux and the internet to a larger extent comes into play, they're the true pioneers of philosophy. Those are the people that should be teaching their doctorates and all that philosophy. These fucking hacks that haven't done a damn thing except they haven't even studied Plato or Socrates or Aurelius. They just get into the minutiae but the mind-numbing, I mean, was it the cataloging, the detailing, the simple studying and recording and contemplation of other people's thoughts, works, and ideas?
Right.
You're a hanger-on. You're a has-been. You're a groupie. You're a fucking nothing. You truly are academic. You study what other people do. And that's where, in philosophy in general, like academic, of course, I disregard. But man, it sure is fun in the real world in the internet.
Right.
Unless you get one of those callers calling it a Stefan Molyneux show.
Right. And I don't know, maybe Stefan is thinking, well, I'm going to fix this person, correct this person, educate this person, whatever. And this is where the cynicism in the Cynical Libertarian Society comes from, is that, you know, as I've said on the cast, I don't know how many times, I'm not here to convince you.
No.
I'm not interested in, you know, if you are persuaded from listening to me, that's great. But I'm not invested in persuading other people, because I've learned a long time ago, I can't.
Yeah, they're not your responsibility.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's I can't do it in the sense that I just can't do it, but it's also not my responsibility.
I was having an interesting conversation with the guy I'm staying with down south. And this guy, he's younger than us, and you kind of like, you can't fault him for that because he's more moral in a certain sense, but mm-hmm. not as practical. And this guy, he lost 100 pounds. He was morbidly obese,
wow.
lost 100 pounds, and now he's ripped. He is just, oh, I mean, like Men's Fitness yeah. magazine cover ripped.
Excellent.
And I hate him even more.
Yeah, I know. But, yeah, I understand why. Yeah, I hate him too. I never even met him.
I was like, I'm going to go stay with this guy. Like, oh, what's he like? I said, well, here's a picture of him before. Here's a picture after. And every girl just about spilled their drink. I'm like, you fucking whores. What about me?
Yeah.
You guys never beat each other up to look at my picture. So what if you could bounce a frozen pea off of his pec and make a pinging noise like it was steel? I'm all right.
I have a great personality.
I got a great personality. Yeah, now the personality. Now I sound like a feminist. So he's gone on a journey, and he's gone from zero to hero, at least in one capacity. Right. And he's learned. And so he's very interested in asshole consulting, like, because he's watching me answer my emails.
Right.
And to kind of get them interested, I say, okay, well, let me show you. How do you price it? How do you price a question? I'm like, right. Well, a lot of the time is, are they spoiled, rotten cunts? Mm-hmm. Are they asking me stupid questions?
Right.
Are they intellectually honest? I mean, a lot of it, the primary determinant, 50% of the price is determined by the length
yes.
of the question. But then the other is, how much of a douche do you sound like? And that's basically, right. like, if you're an innocent kid, okay, yeah, you get it. Oh, I came from the ghetto and I'm trying to get in the military and then I don't have my dad. Like, okay, I'll give you a discount. Dude, like, you know, I was going to major in business, but then I was going to, like, yeah, fuck you, $500 for a goddamn email response. So he was saying, well, wait a minute. When you give these people advice, like, he saw me bang out an email and I charged mm-hmm. $25 for it. He said, well, wait, do you ever follow up with them? I'm like, follow up with them?
What?
What am I? Their fucking teacher? I'm their fucking mom? And he's like, well, don't you want them to do better in life? I'm like, yeah, I want them to do better in life. And he's like, well, how do you... I'm like, but it's not my responsibility. Right? You know how much I'd have to spend time following up with the... Oh, I get like 2,000 clients. Well, yeah, almost 2,000 clients a year. Some repeats, but, you know, okay, 1,994 clients a year. I'm not going to follow up with them. He's like, well, don't you kind of want them to do better? I'm like, well, like, yeah. Well, then shouldn't you kind of like, look, kid, if you're going to worry about whether or not people actually take your advice and execute, like you open the door and mm-hmm. they, whether or not they do or do not walk through it, you're going to waste all of your time in the yeah. world. Well, yeah. And you're going to get frustrated and depressed.
Yeah.
And that's kind of why I'm so angry, because he did hold the door open for a while. You tried to push him through like a stubborn bulldog. They didn't, and you saw exactly what was going to happen.
Right.
And now, kind of in a misanthropic revenge,
mm-hmm.
I don't give a shit. Matter of fact, sometimes I get entertained when they don't do what I say, or I see people doing stupid stuff in the world.
Right.
And you know, oh, is that evil? No, it's not evil, because these people are going to do that no matter what. This is not me. I have no jurisdiction. I'm not telling them what to do. And so this is the philosophy I'm talking about. Realism, practicality. Right. Not, oh, do we push a fat person off a cliff and mm-hmm. does it save a squirrel? Yes. What happened?
That's very anarchist of you to not try to micromanage other people's lives.
Did your computer go down?
Congratulations. No, just the screensaver.
Oh, okay.
Now we're good.
Good. So, but yeah, that's more the philosophy. That's more us talking about spiders that never came to fruition in your book that you
wrote. That's spiders.
that had more intellectual state. Although, did you look up the author? I told you about this. Did you ever follow up on the? Can you pull this up on the computer, or will that throw off your recording?
No, we can totally do that.
All right, let's do that. You actually have the book? Oh, you bought the physical book. Let me take a look at this. The Hatching, a novel by Ezekiel Boone. I thought it was a girl that wrote this.
That is a girl.
Ezekiel?
Apparently so.
Do her parents hate her?
See, I thought it was a guy too. That's why I said in the cast. I was like, I totally thought this was written by a man. I was blaming our gender.
No, here he is. It is what? Written by Ezekiel Boone. You sure you got the right book?
Oh, no, I do. All right, maybe I just thought it was. No, I said.
Wrong book?
No. It's It's my memory. That's the problem. Right. Now I remember. I thought it was a woman who wrote it until I looked and saw it was a guy.
Oh, because of the way it was written. Because of the way it was written. Because it was all mangina and everything. Yes. Right. Okay.
Okay. So see, again, this is why I do a podcast, because I say things and then I don't remember what the hell I said. And this way it's like, oh, yeah.
That was like 6 months ago, too. All right. So anyway. So this book sent me down a path.
Okay.
And I looked it up because you were talking about, and maybe it wasn't this one, maybe it was another one, but you did a segment on...
Wait, are you talking about the PhD in young adult climate change?
Yes! Climate change adult fiction.
Oh my God. When I heard that, I almost...
Have you looked into that world? Have you Google searched climate change adult fiction?
No.
Young adult fiction.
No, I have not.
There is a website.
Oh God.
Like eco climate change young adult, but look up... climate change young adult fiction. It'll probably take you right to the site. So let's do this. And I don't mind dead airspace. It means we're doing things.
Exactly. This means I'm typing with one finger.
Yeah, put the... Yeah. The payoff's going to be worth it, trust me. All right, hang on. Let me take a look here.
All right. You lose your internet?
Oh, man. All right,
let me do it over here.
Because I can just tell you from memory, but it really will be.
So for those of you listening, we're doing a double ender, which means I'm recording Aaron on one computer and I'm recording me on a different computer. I was trying to use the internet on my computer because the last thing I want to do is fuck up Aaron's audio because he's going to say intelligent shit. And I mean, you guys have just heard me whining and ranting for years. We just leave me out through the whole podcast and it would still be just as good.
It would be a rather one-sided conversation though. There you go.
There you go. Mentalist, this laptop is like 10 years old.
Oh, really?
I haven't bought my newest computer. Is about 7 years old.
Wow.
I do not spend money on shit.
No, I don't blame you.
You probably heard me say, I don't. I do not buy shit unless I really need it. And by really need it, I mean books.
Yeah, no. Books. So is it giving you guff here or what?
No, we're getting there.
I'll see you just texted me.
Do it.
People, now would be a good time for them to get a drink.
Yeah.
Okay, absolutely. Get a drink. Come back in about a minute or two. Climate change, young adult fiction. All right, let me take a look.
Ecofiction, there it is. Yeah, ecofiction.com. Ecofiction.com. It is. Oh, my God.
Now, this is really interesting for a couple of reasons. You go to the site, and one, it shows you that anybody, dipshit can set up a website and make it seem like this is a fucking thing.
Yes.
I had a client today whose girlfriend got a degree in fucking museum studies.
Yes, okay? That is a real thing.
It is a real thing. And I puppetry. Know some of those right. People. And now here's this gal. So what these people do, and yeah, there's the site, I can see it now.
Yep.
So if you go through every person and every book, so basically this website is in the highly, highly, highly specialized and unpopular niche of young adult climate change fiction.
Whisper of the Woods.
Right.
They sound like Harlequin romances. The Life of Elves.
Yeah, but sex has utility. At
Kaboom!
Least. So, I went through these different books, right? I started sampling a couple of them.
Okay.
Because I'm like, what the hell is this website? Is this really a thing?
Right.
And what it is, it's not a thing. Because if you click on any one of those books, and they got links to their Amazon links, I think, right? If you click on a book, does it take you to Amazon?
Flip the Bird.
Flip the Bird. Let's see if that takes you there.
Flip the Bird. Holy shit.
Is it your internet or is it...
What is that? That's what...
Or do you have to look it up? Oh, that's on Goodreads. All right, well, I'll just tell you. If you go to Amazon and you look up these things. And why don't you go back to the main page, read a couple off so people can do it. Let's do it that way. So what do we got the first one?
Sure, we got Flip the Bird.
Flip the Bird, okay.
By Kim Bruner.
Kim Bruner. Write these down. Kim Bruner, Flip the Bird, okay?
We got, dude, this Hot Season.
Hot
You're
going to
tell me that's not a Harlequin romance book?
Hot Season. If they shave their vag, it wouldn't be so hot.
By Susan DeFreitas.
Susan DeFreitas, Hot Season, all right, give us a third one.
We got Snow Summer by Kit Peel.
Snow Summer by Kit Peel.
Sylvana by Belinda Miller.
Belinda, what do you notice so far about these authors?
Well, they're all females.
They're all fucking broads, right.
We have The Spawning Grounds.
The Spawning Grounds.
Hello.
What?
The Spawning Grounds.
Is that
Harlequin Romance. Okay. Spawning Grounds? I mean...
I don't know. I don't read Harlequin Romance. I know what they're about, like, but... I'm sure as fuck not going to read these.
A spawning ground is like a place where everybody goes to bang. It's like a orgy or something.
How
I love
much
it.
Do you want
to
bet?
Gail Anderson Dargetes, hyphenated okay. last name.
We got enough. We got enough data points.
We got
right?
enough. Okay.
All right. One, all broads.
All broads.
Two, if you look them up on Google, which I did, you know, my survey sampling, all worthless degrees. All right. Three, how much you want to bet? That woven into this, like, okay, it's eco climate change young adult fiction. How much you want to bet every one of them has a romantic plot in there?
Yes!
They all okay. have, because no matter how much they claim to be an independent feminist leftist eco warrior, in the end, there's still a bunch of broads that yes. want to fucking fall in love.
This one is called Kissing Frogs.
All right, look up, let's try that one, Kissing Frogs. Go to Amazon.com and look. You know what? I'll do it right here. I got a lot of
popular time. Party girl and high school senior Jessica Scott has a secret.
She kisses frogs.
She used to be a nerd.
Oh.
A big one. A goody two shoes, grade skipping, all state spelling bee champ.
Spelling bee, that's sexy.
But she lost the braces. Put on some contacts. I have to read more to find out what comes after that. But I really need to know.
But I mean, it's obvious. This is these nerdy gals that grew up. They're 50 yep. years old, and now they're going to relive their youth in their imagination as an eco warrior.
Yes,
kissing who gets, frogs.
Who gets the
one.
Alpha male?
Oh, this might.
To want them.
This might actually. Laura Marie Altum.
Nope.
No.
Kissing Frogs. Alicia. S E V. I G N Y.
Okay, it's not that one. Kissing Frogs. Kindle edition by Rich Amui. Okay, there's a ton. All right, she didn't think very clearly
that's not a very good time. Yeah,
because there's like eight books named Kissing Frogs.
Not an original title.
Okay, Rich Amui, a man, wrote a book called Kissing Frogs, and he did really well. 263 reviews. All right, let's try a different title, something that. Is not so common.
I found it.
Okay.
Wait.
Yeah. That's Amazon, yeah. All right, how many reviews does it have?
22
reviews. Oh, really? My shittiest book has 18. And I just came out with it like a year ago. This is probably... Try another one. That's impressive. 22 reviews.
They're all 5-star. What are the odds?
Okay, there is that to write.
There's not an ideological bent behind that.
Well, maybe not even ideological. She just set up 22 different accounts. I'm not joking. I hate to be so cynical, but this is what these type of people do. Fake accounts, sock puppet accounts.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah.
And what I did when I looked up all these different, you know, the three or four I did, you're talking 4, maybe 5, maybe 10 reviews. This is their pinnacle. This is their achievement in life. They spent however many months, maybe years, given the average work ethic of a leftist feminist, an eco warrior. They write this book, and, you know, me having my own books for sale, I know that if you have 6 or 10 reviews, mm-hmm. you didn't even make a couple $100.
Here's The Scorpion Rules by another Erin Bao. She has 13 reviews.
13 reviews. Okay, my whole point. If we look up Erin Bao, what's her daytime job? Does she have a daytime job? Or is this fucking it?
Is this fucking it?
Or she's some adject that says...
Oh, my God. Okay, here, it says right here, this is a bestseller.
No, it's not.
In children's science and nature fiction ebooks.
Written on Tuesdays.
Exactly. I love this stuff. When people. My book is a bestseller on Amazon. And it's in, yeah, this obscure... children's science and nature fiction ebooks.
I have the highest podcast Whoa. Ranking in the world amongst left-handed guitar players who drive Honda Civics.
Right?
Yeah, on Tuesdays.
Exactly. Oh, God. No, it cracks me up to see this stuff.
But see, this is, and this is kind of...
Oh, she wrote The Swan Riders as four reviews.
Four reviews. So she didn't learn from her first mistake and kept dedicating time and effort into this.
Plain Kate has 9 reviews, uh-huh. and Sorrows Not has 2 reviews.
Who is this?
Her name is Erin Bow.
E-R-I-N?
E-R-I-N-B-O-W.
E-R-I-N-B-O-W. B-O-W. Erin Bow. Not Bowman, Bow.
Bow. B-O-W. Yeah, I clicked on her name. I was hoping it would take me to the profile that would tell me something
about
her.
Okay, all right. Now, I could have visited her at Des Moines.
Ooh.
The Scorpion Rules, Swan Riders.
Yep.
Okay. How much... Okay, let's go out on a limb here. Okay, on
a scale
of 1 to 10, how good looking do you want to bet Erin Bow is? I'll give you a hint. Bow Wow.
Oh, God. I was going to say. I'll go with a solid, maybe a... I'll be a little generous. She might be a 4.
She is a 3.
Okay.
She is ugly. Like, you know, you see the fat chicks and like, yeah, there's a hot chick if she lost 40 pounds.
Awesome.
There's no redeeming. No.
See, and this is why you should always go with your first instincts, because I was going to say 3. Mm-hmm. And then I said, I'm going to not be such an asshole and go with 4.
She has a Wikipedia.
What?
How the hell?
I don't have a Wikipedia entry.
All right. Education Creighton. Notable works, Plain Kate. And you said Plain Kate.
Plain Kate.
Has how many reviews?
Let me hit the back button. Plain Kate. Where'd Plain Kate go? God damn it. I hate the internet. I really hate Amazon.com too. I hate everything, actually.
Mm-hmm. She was captain of the debate team.
Whoa.
Went to Creighton University, where she was interested in studying both physics and writing. Now, guess which one
She chose
physics as a major.
Oh, Plain Kate
has... that it'd be easier to become a self-taught writer than a self-taught physicist. Professional life, graduate school, doctoral program.
God.
Particle physics. Oh, does she become one of these theoretical physicians who never has a practical application?
Probably.
She worked at CERN over at Geneva.
Oh, God.
She wrote poetry and memoir. Yeah. Yeah, she should go back to physics.
Yes. Plain Kate has 9 reviews.
9 reviews. All right, there you go. I'm impressed with this one that she has a doctorate in physics. That's good.
Yeah,
that's impressive.
That is impressive.
Yeah,
I concur.
The rest of them not so much. But
even under all that, it's still. I mean, just looking at these the book covers and the titles. I mean, you're right. These are romances.
Well, and like I said before,
with global warming thrown in.
But how arrogant do you have to be? See, I have an idea for several fiction books,
mm-hmm.
and the problem that you would face as a fiction writer is you don't want to make you the hero.
Oh, yeah.
And the problem is like, okay, well, who else do you know better than yourself? And then also, what you would admire in traits and qualities in an individual that would make a good hero, if you're a good moral person, you two are probably exhibiting those traits of morals.
Right.
So I have there's a couple stories that I'd like to write. Obviously, they necessitate a hero of some kind. Unfortunately, fortunately, all the ideas, the hero would have to be male because it's in the past. And I'm not doing this. Oh yeah, there were black people who fought in World War I, and now they're going to be the front cover of Battlefield 1. And it's like, yeah, I know, but I'm not going to rewrite history.
Right.
But how arrogant and cocky do you have to be to basically just write your autobiography in fiction?
Exactly.
When I write a book, it's not going to be about this big dick, heroic, gallivanting, vagabond, blogger, podcaster, writer. It's not. It's going to be about...
Although that would be a great book.
It would not be a great book. No, it would suck. It would get 6 reviews like Plain Kate. But all this Plain Kate is, all these books are, is just her. Because she was in the debate team. She was a nerd. She wanted to study mathematics. She moved from this. I mean, read through her Wikipedia. You don't have to read any of her books. You just have to read her Wikipedia page.
Right. And it's her going back and reliving her high school life. Only now, instead of being the loser in high school with the braces on the debate
and
team.
And she got rid of the braces.
Right.
And then sophomore summer turned to junior year. And look out. It's no longer Plain Kate. But Plain Kate has standards. I don't date the football player unless he drives a Prius. And she has morals. And it's like, no. If I'm going to write a fictional book and the hero is going to be influenced by me or for me, I don't know how you fully extract yourself from it. It's not going to be about me.
Right.
Because it's ego. It's selfish. It's greedy. It's narcissistic. It's arrogant to think people want to hear about your fucking life and a piece of world fiction.
Exactly.
Yeah. So if it's going to be, I don't want to give it away because it is a really good idea, but there will be a hero. He will have some traits and preferences I like. Mm-hmm. But aside from that, there will be no analogy. There will be no similarities. The similarities will end there because it's a completely different time, different place. This is a different person.
Right.
But if you're going to write fiction, for fuck's sake, write fiction. If you want to write about you, go grab your fucking diary. Her diary probably would have gotten more because it would have been gossipy.
Exactly.
It would have been like juicy or something.
And believable.
And believable. And the writing would have been shit, which would have made it cringeworthy. Which would have made people like it. Yeah, kind of like Big Trouble in Little China. You know?
Yeah.
So, I forgot where I was going with this.
It doesn't matter.
Oh, that's right, because this was from the spiders that never came to attack.
Like to page 70 or something.
And then you got
finally showed up.
The eco-fiction.
Oh, God, yeah.
Right. And then I looked into this world, and I'm like, holy shit, this is...
This is a thing.
This is... But the more I want to point out, these people are not successful. Like, you're like, mm-hmm. How they publish a book? How they get... Yeah, they published a book, self-published. I've done that. Right? They are not successful. They are miserable people. They are failures.
Yes.
Maybe this is the best one because she has a doctorate and she works over in at a particle physics lab.
Right.
But the remainder of them, oh my God.
In addition to all that, I've bitched about this before, but the part that galls me is, especially nowadays, all of this young adult fiction... That all these chicks are so into, you know, like I
like the Twilight or
well, just like all of it. I mean, it's like it's just this whole thing where I run into these women, you know, whether it's internet or like in real life. You know, I talk to girls in real life, and there's one girl I know, and she's just devastatingly beautiful. And we're talking, and I'm like, see, and we get to books. She's like, yeah, I like reading young adult fiction.
And this is an adult woman.
This is a 25 year old.
Okay.
And I'm thinking, okay, and what else? And well, I just like reading young adult. And I'm thinking, and again, yeah, I listened to the audiobooks of all three Hunger Games.
Okay.
Because it was recommended to me by a woman. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, I kind of got it. Like the first one's pretty good. Second one, third one was hideous. But when you are going through your life and the only thing you read is books written for teenagers.
It's pretty sad.
Yeah. I mean, again, it's like watching television. It's like, okay, I can watch, what the fuck do I watch? I watch Babylon 5, you know? I watch South Park. I watch a South Park episode. Sure. But TV's a bad example, but I watch documentaries. I watch intelligent things also. But when your diet is nothing but young adult fiction, and there's people like that, I've unfortunately met them.
Yeah, and then they want to go have an adult relationship with a 30-year-old man,
even an adult conversation.
Well, yeah, but
you know, and these are all the, and, you know, none of the, they're all the Hillary voters too, and they're all the feels and the SJWs and all this other shit. And it's like, well, and I kind of understand where your immature worldview comes from.
Right, but they're doubly screwed because you'd think, well, then because we could, they'd make the point, well, not everyone's as smart as you, the great comma himself, and no one's everyone as smart as you, Cappy. So these girls have lots of guys they could choose from. And I'm like, I disagree, because here's the thing. They like such a, not niche, but just pablum that is specifically made for women, that their intellectual equivalent on the male side is equally dumb, equally common, equally average, but has his own cotton candy that is not made for women. He's watching the sports. He's watching whatever, WWF wrestling or whatever. And those worlds don't mix.
No.
So this girl can't get a smarter guy. She can maybe get a dumb guy based on looks, but there's not going to be any conversation there whatsoever. There's not going to be any intellectual conversation. Well, maybe, you know, that's... Maybe we're thinking too much. Maybe we are. Maybe if we just said...
Maybe any thinking is too much thinking sometimes.
Maybe it's just, I'd like to be fucked by a big rip dude, and I want to jizz on her face, and then we'll worry about if that leads to pregnancy later. Maybe that's the average level of intelligent thought.
Yeah,
which maybe. Really allows for a big circles in a Venn diagram, and there's a significant amount of overlap. And if we dare say, you know what? It's got to be Firefly or better. It's got to be got to be Cowboy Bebop or better. Or Black Books or something like that. Maybe we're just delusional and the point becomes academic.
Right.
And then maybe we would find a girl. Here's the sad thing. You know who would have the intelligence to maybe be on that level? The gal who wrote Plain Kate, who's working as a physicist over at the CERN labs in Switzerland. The problem maybe is so. She's still addicted. She writes this slop.
Right.
Maybe it's like crack. It doesn't matter maybe. Your intelligence level. You'll just get addicted to it.
You just get addicted to it.
I do have to run this past you, though. I took notes. I did take notes, plus it's getting cold in here. Why is it with you people? I'm from Minnesota. Why do you keep your houses warmer than it is up north?
You mean colder than it
is? This is cold as hell. Are you really comfortable?
Yeah.
Jesus
Christ. You know, the thing is, I'm from Texas. People think I would be freezing. And it's like,
and you're just fine.
Yeah. I mean, I normally, my thermostat in here is set to 50.
Yeah, I have.
So, yeah. Sorry, man.
I have it set to like 78.
I crank it up, but then we get the fucking noise in the
podcast. No, I understand. I was hoping the train would go by.
If you guys, just so you know, this is the sacrifice that Captain Capitalism makes
it's
for podcasting.
It's starting to become a sacrifice because the temperature's not getting warmer in here.
Don't think he takes this shit lightly, guys.
I'll tell you, I got your agitation right here on this piece of paper. Your blood pressure, whatever it is now.
All right.
Well, after I read what's on this paper, it's going to go up by at least 10%.
Okay. Excellent.
But just to show you how, even though I am in Minnesota, I'm very cold, but to show you how spoiled I am, I'm thinking, okay, I can't wait to get south. And my first stop was to visit my buddy in Kansas City.
Right.
And that's a good 6 hours straight south. Okay. So I'm thinking, okay, it's going to be at least 10 to 15 degrees warmer. Right. It is outside. But when I get to my friend's house, it's the same damn thing. I'm like, is the heat on? Is the heat fucking on? Like, it's warmer in my truck. So now as I go to these different people's places, I'm like, God, I got to go get gas. I got to go for a ride. Why? Because my truck is the warmest place right now. And what's great is I'm not alone in this. And for once, I side with the women because I'm with my buddy Nick. I'm like, and he's got his wife. I won't mention her name. No. Nick, but he has a wife. We'll call him Nick's wife.
And I go,
Nick, do you always keep it 64 degrees in this place? He's like, yeah, what's wrong? And then Nick's wife says, yes, I told you. I told you. See, I'm not the only one. And I'm like, yeah, I hate to side with the missus, but when people are right, they're right, regardless of whether they have a vagina or not.
Exactly.
It's fucking cold in here, Nick. Can you turn up the heat?
Well, you know what?
No, Nick, you weigh twice my weight and are like my height. You have a lot more insulation, all right? Turn on the heat. Then I think I'm going to come here, you know, further west, further warm.
And the
temperature is warmer. It's like a whole 20 degrees warmer. The snow's starting to melt outside. You got the sun.
A little bit, yeah.
And then I go into my friend's house. And so there's his girlfriend, who's just thin as a rail, and she's shaking like a chihuahua. And then I'm like, okay, I'm not the only one. And then...
That's not just me.
Yeah, I say, hey, buddy. And he's like, yes. I said, you mind turning up the heat, or are you comfortable? And then you could see... Because her head turned so fast it broke the sound barrier. There was a sonic boom as how quick she looked at him. And with that look of the eye, like, yeah. I told you, you fucker. And she never curses.
See?
Yeah. And he's like, what? I'm like, it's kind of cold in here. So we start arguing for 15 minutes. And I told him, like, you know, the 15 minutes we've wasted, you could have just turned on the damn heat, would have been warm by now.
Right.
And she's like, it's always cold in here. I'm like, wait a minute. I got an idea. So he's got this little 3-year-old daughter. Sweet and innocent, going to be the perfect judge. I say,
yes.
You want the young kid, the innocence, to judge? He's like, yeah, fine. So he's confident. He thinks he's going to win. I'm like, I got this one. So I go up to her. I'm like, hey, sweetheart. She's like, yeah. I'm like, is it too cold, too hot, or just about right temperature-wise in the house? She's like, it's too cold. I'm like, look at him. And you can just see him go, fuck.
Damn it.
And then the walk of shame to the thermostat. And stingily turning it up 1 degree. I'm like, no. That's 5 more degrees. None of this 1 degree shit. I'll give you an extra goddamn nickel to afford your extra heat this month. But I understand, like, why you, because I have to do this in my recording shed because it's outdoors. I have a heater, but if the heater runs, you get this. So I understand why it's 43 degrees in here now. But anyway, all right, so I have this piece of paper. Are you prepared?
I
the great
so.
One yourself.
If I'm not, I mean, reality doesn't give a shit about my feelings.
No, I only took the notes. I wouldn't forget one. All right, here's the deal. This is not an article.
Okay.
And hopefully you'll reach, and I'm going to plug it on my side too, but hopefully there's other people in Portland. My buddy, my agent in the field, just got back from Portland.
Mm.
And he says he noticed something. Now, I have no reason to disbelieve him, but this has not been independently confirmed.
I understand.
And he knows north from south. And he says, where would you put solar panels on your house? I said, well, I would put them on the roof.
Yep.
He's like, but facing where? I said, well, I'd put them facing south and, you know, with 180 degrees because that's where the sun is in the southern hemisphere. you know, so that it gets the most amount of heat. And I think some of them are even, they follow the sun.
You can get,
you can get but it is on the south side of your house if you're in the northern hemisphere. He's like, right. He says, guess where some people are putting their solar panels in Portland? I say, not the south.
In the basement?
No, no. I'm going to give you a hint. I'm going to give you a clue. That would not achieve their ulterior motive or their ulterior aim. So you're in Portland, which is cloudy as fuck anyway.
Right.
But they're going to get their solar panels so they can.
Exactly.
They can.
I've actually been to Portland. Spent a week there one time.
I don't ever want to go. I have no desire to go. So they're in Portland. Eco, fascist, Nazism.
Yep.
Okay. They are going to use solar panels, which I'm not against, by the way. I would like to have a house off grid, so I'm looking at these Tesla home batteries, but neither here nor there. And you have a house, and for some reason they put it on the north. Now, why would they put it on the north? Or the not optimal side of the house. Doesn't necessarily have to be north, but they're putting the solar panels not on the south.
Are they putting it on the side of the house that's visible from the street so that everyone who drives by will know how much they care about the environment?
You're a fucking asshole. If you're going to guess it that quickly, if you're going to get it, if you're just going to hit it out of the park
like that. I've done this before.
What?
I know how eco-wackos
You're kidding. Think. You've seen it before?
No, just eco-wackos in general. I just understand their mindset.
You hit it right on the head. You hit it out of the park.
Well, I live in the People's Republic of Fort Collins.
I thought you would hem and haw a little bit. You'd guess a couple of feet. And why do you have to be right just like that?
Because I'm the great one. I'm always right.
That's true. The great one. Yes.
Okay, I was not right about Hillary Clinton being the next president.
No, I don't think anybody was there. Except for the younger generation.
I have to keep, you know, admitting that I was wrong about that. I predicted that for over 4 years that she would be next. So.
I would have thought you wouldn't. But yeah, they are putting, now this is his report.
Right.
And I would love to see any agents in the field or people in Portland if they can confirm this.
Verify.
But he's saying, he started looking around and he asked his buddy, he says, why are the solar panels here? And the guy's like, oh, they're virtue signaling.
Yeah,
they are trying to brag to everybody else as to how much. And I was like, if that doesn't show you the true motives of these hypocrites, these frauds, it has nothing. Absolutely
nothing.
I mean, I already knew it, but there's not a more better example of how fake they are and how they're just, and I want to almost go and get pictures of it. Of these houses to have it proof so that, because if this gets out or it goes viral, then everyone's going to start switching it to the south. And then they're going to brag, I have mine on the south
side.
Right. But.
And here, let me show you pictures on my cell phone.
Yeah, exactly.
Of my solar panels.
See, the sun, I'm having my shadow is being casted towards the house with it. So you know that it's on the right side of the house. But when I heard that, and I believe it. In the realm of believability, I'm putting this down as fact because I know these people.
Yep.
I know they're hypocrites. I know they're frauds. I know they would do it. I know they're vain, evil, vile people.
Mm-hmm.
This has to be disproven to me now, just because of the behavior and the actions and the belief. But I knew they were hypocrites. I knew they were frauds, but this, the gall and the hubris and arrogance and the stupidity to think that it's an admission of defeat. It's an admission that it's all bogus and wrong.
Right.
I'm trying to think of what it would be like in a Christian world, like to virtue signal in the church would be to what? Sleep with the pastor? to prove that you're that much closer to God. I mean, there's what action could you take as a religious person that would be bragging about your religious morals
when you
that would immediately show you didn't believe a fucking word of the religion,
right?
And that's what really was precious about this little tidbit,
mm-hmm.
is you just belied your true intentions on it. But you're perfectly okay with it. You've probably come to this, you've come to this Zen level of acceptance. My blood pressure's even angered more higher up, and I already knew about this shit. I'm actually more pissed off you just guessed it like that, and there was no groveling or, oh, please give me another hint.
The eco-wackoism we go back a long ways, me and the eco-wackos. I mean, that was sort of, in my development history, that was one of my big moments when I used to believe in global warming, and I spent 6 months at the Houston Public Library doing in-depth research on this thing. And I came, finished up, and 6 months later, I looked at this and I said, there's no such thing.
No.
No, not in the city. You don't believe in climate change? Well, yes, the climate changes.
Right.
I don't believe in global warming, the belief that the climate is changing because of humans and we have to fix it by raising taxes and passing more laws, or everybody on the planet Earth is going to die.
Right. Well,
I have a very excellent understanding of the eco-wackos. I used to be one.
Yeah.
Global warming wacko, Greenpeacer, you know, all of this shit. Yeah.
There's another perfect example when you have to change from global warming to climate change. It's like, all right, you just admitted all bullshit.
It's not getting
warmer. And I hate to point out such a simplistic argument, but it is that simplistic.
It is.
It really is. Like, I remember when, you know, my dad was a pastor. I was brought up, you know, religious, whether you like it or not.
Right.
And the simple logical questions a 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 year old will come up with.
Yes.
They can't debunk them.
They can't handle it.
They cannot handle them. Oh, you're going to burn in hell. That was the answer to everything.
Right.
Why? How does him being nailed to a plank of wood forgive the sins of people? I don't understand it. Well, that's because it's beyond your understanding. And then, well, what about the Indians? The Indians didn't have Jesus. They didn't know about him until he came. Are they all going to hell? Well, we don't know. The Lord works in mysterious, and you're going to hell if you don't believe. It's like, what's kind of unfair to the Native Americans?
Right, exactly. Yeah. What kind of God is that?
Well, yeah.
God's kind of a jerk.
God's kind of an asshole, frankly. Yeah. You know,
I mean, fuck.
Yeah. And they don't have the answer. They don't.
Yeah. No.
Well, I better get going here
all right.
Before it's too late.
Yeah, it's always too late.
Too late. With Denver traffic, it doesn't matter when you go.
Today's Saturday.
It's Saturday, so
going
there
into
is hope.
Denver, it'll be somewhat shitty for sure already.
Yeah. No, I remember coming down here on Friday nights because I used to live in Casper, and then the girlfriend flew to Casper once and realized how shitty it was. I'm like, why don't we just fly to Denver and I'll drive and then we'll have fun in a real town.
Right.
And I'd have to wait and time it so that I'd hit Denver around 7 or 8 in the evening.
Yeah.
And even then you gotta go practically to Nebraska to get to the airport.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can make it.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a shockingly large number of people like in Fort Collins who work in Denver, travel to Denver, whatever, all the fucking time driving back and forth to Denver. And the interesting
miles
thing is
one way.
Yeah. And a lot of them, most of them, I would say believe in global warming and care about the environment. And just not enough not to drive that car.
Like I said, they don't even believe in it.
No,
it's all virtue signaling. It's all me stroke my own dick.
No, it's I'll try to do this briefly because I've done the long version and people have heard it. But it's like you say, well, global warming is a fact. Blah blah. All right, so great. So you're standing on the train track and there's a train coming at you.
Mm.
The train hits you. Is it going to kill you? Well,
Probably.
All right, so what are you going to do? You're going to get out of the way of the train, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so global warming.
Guaranteed.
Agree and amplify.
Yeah, agree and amplify.
Agree and amplify. Great, global warming, it's a fact. Mm-hmm. We're going to die. It's going to kill everyone on Earth if we keep putting carbon dioxide in the atmosphere.
Right.
Do you still drive a car?
Yeah.
Do you still use electricity that's generated by burning coal?
Do you still
drink bottled water that's driven across the country? Exactly. And well, I have
LED light bulbs.
No, sorry. I'm not buying it.
Yeah.
Not buying it because you don't believe what you're saying. Because if you believed that your actions were destroying the planet Earth and killing everyone alive,
mm-hmm.
you would stop doing
that. Well, and what another sign of hypocrisy, and I've mentioned this before, but I hope the listeners, the new ones, I hope listen. What really angers me, and this is, humans lie about to make themselves feel better. Corporations use this to market to stupid sheeple.
Oh, yeah.
If corporations really were corporate social responsibility, really cared about the environment, and really wanted a work-life balance, you know what they would do? They would let everyone who possibly could telecommute.
Absolutely.
And they would get rid of their fucking rent expense downtown. They'd save IBM did this. And I'll give IBM credit. IBM is like, fuck you, you're working at home.
Yeah.
We're not paying or heating for space at an office. And so they saved $1.8 billion in a matter of, I think, like 2 or 3 years.
Nice.
Brilliant. Fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
And, but all these, you know, Walmart, Target, Dayton's, these are all Minnesota corporations that are all, because they're, I'm sure you have your chest beating good environmental companies out here in Colorado.
Oh God, all of them.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure they're all
in Fort Collins. They're all environmental.
Right. Well, then I want to know how many of them mandate that people unnecessarily commute when they have a desk job that could easily be done by a laptop, some a VPN or a RDP or Citrix.
Exactly.
Yeah, Citrix should. There should be no fucking cars on that road come Monday morning if it weren't if with Citrix. And Citrix has existed how long? 20 years?
Sure.
Oh, easy. So, all right, I got to get warm. Let's turn it. That's the real reason. You got to turn this off.
Claire just wants to
get warm.
Thanks
for having me. I really appreciate
it. It was my pleasure. It was a great honor. You can find him on the interwebs at captaincapitalism.blogspot.com.
Yep.
From there, the links will take you to the rest of his media empire. He's on the YouTube. He's got the Asshole Consulting, where you can get the truth. Well worth it. His videos are all on the YouTube. You can see what he does for the other clients and see the truthful level. His books. How many books have you written?
Real ones?
10?
No, because there's Boris the Shitting Buffalo. I know this may shock you. Is not a real book.
Oh, bullshit.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's...
It has more reviews than those other ones we were looking at.
Well, it has
though,
more reviews. Yeah. If I have more reviews with Boris the Shitting Buffalo than Plain Kate... there's that. And then I also do not consider my, my backup books where I back up my blog. Those are just archives, you know,
right,
but you can get them certainly. Yeah. But I have, I think 6 real ones.
Okay.
Or 7 if you include Behind the Housing Crisis. Probably 7. I think we're at 7. Yeah.
So anyway, author, blogger, YouTuber, all around genius.
The Johnny Appleseed of economics.
Johnny Appleseed of economics. All right, we're going to get Clary warm here with some heat. All
see you guys.
See ya. Bye.